So last week, when we were together, we began to unpack Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, where Paul is explaining to those, his readers, to the Ephesians, just how loved they are by God. In fact, in these first 14 verses, there are 8 spiritual blessings that go along with being a child of God. And so last week, we talked about the first 3, that we have been chosen, that you have been adopted into God's family, and that you have been redeemed. And that as we heard each one of these, that we should be hearing the voice of God, our Heavenly Father, saying to us, I will love you forever, I will like you for always, and as long as I'm living, my child, you will be. And so today we're going to be unpacking those final 5 blessings. And so before we begin, let's refresh ourselves as we read our scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So blessing number 4 is that we have been forgiven. So the second part of verse 7 says this. It says, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And I think there can almost be a temptation to skip right past this part. You know, we're not that far removed from Easter. And so we have heard about forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is a big thing about church. In fact, it's almost something that we've come to expect from God, right? That God deals in forgiveness. But here's the picture that this blessing is trying to portray. So you have to kind of picture this in your mind, that you have been called into the doctor's office. And the doctor asks you to come in and sit down because he or she has some news to share with you. And so you sit down, and you see the doctor open a folder and scan a few things, close the folder, looks at you, and says, I'm afraid it's cancer. You know, not only is it cancer, but it's killing you. How much time do you ask? How much time do you have, you ask? And the doctor says, I don't know, but it will happen soon. And so you're told to make peace with what's going to happen, and then you're sent on your way. But then you hear this word, remission. And you're told that you no longer have cancer, that you're free. You know, the word that's used for forgiveness in this passage not only means forgiveness, but it also means remission. And so that death penalty, the penalty for the sin that we all carry, right? You know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The death penalty that each one of us has rightly earned because we have sinned is now in remission. Death has been changed into life. Right? We're no longer under a death sentence. you have been given eternal remission, and it's because of God's grace. I will love you forever. I will like you for always. As long as I'm living, my child you will be. You have been forgiven. And blessing number five, God lavishes us with his grace. Verses 7 and 8 say this, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. Lavish. Now think about that word, lavish. You can't say it more than a couple times, because the more you say it, the more it doesn't even sound like it's a real word, right? Lavish, lavish. It's a word we don't use very often. But the word lavish means very generous or extravagant. And then when you couple it with grace, this idea of unmerited favor, it's incredibly difficult to comprehend what it means that God lavishes his grace upon us. You know, as I was sitting there, you know, when I'm writing my messages, I write in spurts. You know, I'll write and then I'll take a break, and I'll write and I'll take a break. So I was on a break right at this section, and I went and I sat down on the couch, and one of my dogs, Ollie, jumped up right next to me, and he put a paw on me, and when I turned to look at Ollie, he just launched himself at me, right, and he's covering my face with kisses. I have no idea why my dogs love me. Right? I mean, dogs are just, they're built to love. But, you know, my dogs lavish me with love every time I come home. Right? Anytime that I walk into the room, they lavish me. Anytime I've been gone out of their sight more than 5 seconds, right? It's like the first time they've seen me in forever. And they just want to lavish me with love. And sure, I feed them and I take them on walks. But the love in which they return to me seems so unequal. Because I can get busy. Ollie, no, not right now. Coco, you sit over there. But they are always ready to come back. You know, this unprovoked type of love is the type of love that God has for you. And God lavishes it upon you. God, it blesses God to love you. I will love you forever. I will like you for always. And as long as I'm living, my child, you will be. Because God lavishes us with his grace. Blessing number six. God reveals his mystery to us. And so we're told in verse 9 that he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth to us in Christ. Now this blessing speaks directly to our position in Christ, because in a sense we have been entrusted with the game plan. You know, any one of us can access God's heart or God's will or God's desires by turning to the word that he has left us. You know, there's a worship song that we sing sometimes in contemporary worship by the name of Evidence, and it's a song that was actually running through my mind as I was writing. And at the end of the song, there's this refrain that says, "Why should I fear? For the evidence is here." And that phrase, "Why should I fear? For the evidence is here. Why should I fear? For the evidence is here." It just kept on repeating over and over and over again in my mind. Because there's something to be said about not fearing because we know the evidence, because we know the game plan, because we know the mystery that has been set before us. And we have been given insight into the mystery of God, and that knowledge can chase fear away. You know, the song says, "Help me remember when I am weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be." You know, we're able to see the evidence of God because he has opened our eyes to it. Not only that, but he's left us his word. "I will love you forever. I will like you for always. As long as I'm living, my child, you will be." as God has revealed his mystery to us. You know, blessing number 7 is that we have been sealed by God. We have been sealed by God. Verse 13 says this, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit." So a seal is an identifying mark on a letter, on a contract, or some other type of document. And it shows just who or just where that letter came from, because the name of the person who sealed it is on the outside. In the ancient world, you know, cattle, possessions were often branded with a seal to show whom they belonged. And the mark would deter people from stealing those items because they had the seal upon him. You know, impressing a dollop of wax on a lip of an envelope and sealed with the king's ring reassured the recipient that the contents were untouched, and it deterred thieves or traitors or other criminals from tampering. You know, the penalties could be very harsh for breaking a seal that was not yours to break. You know, for example, you know, it's Easter. Jesus is laid in a tomb. Big old stone is rolled to cover that. And if that wasn't enough, as if that big boulder wasn't enough to deter somebody, a seal, the Roman seal, was placed on the stone. Right? Anybody who breaks this seal is going to suffer a very unpleasant death. It's a guarantee. So the Holy Spirit is the Christian seal. He seals the people. God's own Spirit comes to indwell and take up residence within us, within the life of the believer. The promised Holy Spirit identifies God's people as his inheritance. And by giving us the Holy Spirit, God seals or stamps us as his own at our conversion. And the Holy Spirit continues to testify, continues to authenticate the reality of the relationship by making us more and more like Jesus. To be sealed with the Holy Spirit is a gracious gift from God, whereby it demonstrates the authenticity of the believer's relationship with him, and it connotates authority and ownership and commitment to his people. I will love you for always. I will love you forever. I will like you for always. As long as I'm living, my child, you will be. God has sealed us. And then lastly, blessing number 8. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So again, verses 13 and 14. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. Now, it may seem like I'm splitting hairs here, because what's the difference between being sealed with the Spirit and then having the Spirit act as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance? And I think we can think of it this way, that the seal, the mark of the seal, denotes ownership. That when we are marked by the Holy Spirit, we are marked as being of Jesus, right? We belong to God. Whereas the Spirit acting as a deposit of inheritance is the promise of sonship or daughtership. You know, much like the blessings of adoption that we looked at last Sunday, this blessing communicates this ongoing relationship that lasts beyond this world, beyond what we can see. Because remember, Paul is writing to a group of people that feel as if they were spiritually poor. That they don't know who they are. They don't know their position with God. They had been beaten down and they had forgotten the very many blessings that were theirs. And Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, in John 14, just prior to his arrest and eventual death. He says this in John 14. "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all of what I have said to you. The Spirit reminds us that we are not alone in this. The Spirit tells us who we belong to. The Spirit reminds us that we are part of the family of God and we have all of the rights of inheritance right here and right now. Because it's God whispering to you, I will love you forever. I will like you for always. As long as I'm living, my child, you will be. God has given us this Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You know, perhaps the most powerful part of these first 14 verses is that repeatedly throughout this passage, Paul makes this expression, you know, in Christ, or some variant of it. That we are blessed in Christ, that we are chosen in Christ, that we have redemption in Christ, that we are included in Christ. Because all of what we have been talking about happened not because we follow Christ, but because we are in Christ. We are found in Christ. Throughout all of these verses, throughout all of these blessings, throughout all of our position before God, Christ is central to all of that. Right? We have no position before God without Jesus. Without Jesus, we are nothing. With Jesus, we are everything. Church, it pleased God to include us in Christ. Church, you are so deeply loved. We are so deeply loved. Our Heavenly Father longs to be in relationship with us. Heavenly Father wants us to remember who we are, what we stand on. We don't stand on ourselves. We don't stand in our own righteousness. We stand on the blessings that are found in Christ, that are given freely to each and every one of his sons and daughters. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that we would remember these truths, that we would remember the blessings of what it means to be found in Christ, that as our Heavenly Father, you have loved us and that you will continue to love us. You will always love us. Lord, we pray that we would recognize the riches, the blessing of where we stand. We are yours. Jesus, forgive us for forgetting. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Open our lives, dear God, that we might live out our spiritual blessings. Again, Lord, not just for us, but for the world that surrounds us. Jesus, we love you so very much. Thank you for loving us. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, would you stand with me this morning as we sing our final hymn this morning? We have a story to tell to the nations. 569.
Turn to dawning, and the dawning to new. that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword, for the darkness shall turn to
Church, who are you? Who do you say that you are? Whose righteousness will we lift up? Church, we have been blessed in Christ, and it is His righteousness, His love that we lift up. It is He who we look towards. And our Savior wants us to know just who we are. He wants us to know what we're standing on. And our foundation, the blessings that accompany being a son or a daughter of God, are so vast and so powerful. And don't forget these things. When you doubt, if you're ever tempted to doubt, am I good enough? Am I worth it? I hear your Heavenly Father saying to you, I will love you forever, and I will like you for always. And as long as I'm living, and God is eternal, as long as I'm living, my child you will be. Because that knowledge changes you. It changes everything. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the truth that we stand upon. Lord, we are grateful that you prompted Paul to remind us just how blessed we are. To remind us of our position, that we are not on the outside, but that we are part of your family. Lord, may we carry these blessings with us so that they continue to change us. Lord, that they would continue to change the people around us, that they would change this world. And here we are, dear God. Please use us in this. We pray this in your precious name, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.